He said, I not only use all the brains I have, but all I can borrow. How many of you have ever felt that way? You need to borrow every so often. We don't borrow brains per se, but we borrow sayings from brains that actually worked. So, the message this morning is pretty simple. Facing reality with courage. One of the problems we face is in order not to have the courage God wants us to have, we simply ignore reality. Ever done that? We just don't want to hear it. We just want to embrace it. We have our own ideas. And then eventually it's going to end up in a situation which we have never thought we would end up in. And that's a big issue, obviously. So this morning we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 11. And there are a lot of snippets in there. That means one proverb. And then we normally go on. But I want to get about maybe 8 or 10 in there and then kind of connect it with that title, Facing Reality with Courage. In other words, looking right into both, with both eyes into the storm and not being afraid of the storm that's coming. So, before we go there, this needs a lot of prayers. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for this morning that we can sit together and encourage one another with your word, not with our own words, but with your words. We're asking your Holy Spirit to be the master teacher this morning. Grant us wisdom as we read those words. Give us understanding. Give us the knowledge we can implement in our lives into actions so that we may have a life that brings glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we get into Proverbs, let me quickly share with you. It's a very personal thing, but I think you as a church family, how many of you know family? The church family for me is the most important thing next to my personal family. There's nothing more important in my life. And there's a reason for it. I have been in the world long enough to know the world does not function properly, and I don't function properly if I don't have a strong church family. We need it. I may not be in the best mental capacity getting up in the morning, but by the time I come here and meet you, it changes you. It literally does something good to you. For years and years, I have believed, you obviously know, we believe in prayers. How many of you believe in prayers? Okay. So normally we say we do until something happens which we don't expect, and then we get desperate. There are two ways to do it when we get desperate. We can just get into the positive thinking and believe that's going to get us to the other side, or we can trust God's word and build what we pray for based upon God's word. I would say the second way to do it is the successful way. You can go for the first one. For years and years, as a matter of fact, since we got 29 years ago a son into our lives, I pray almost without ceasing and almost without ever missing a day. The same prayer. And he said, Pastor, don't you get it? God got it the first time. I didn't get it the first time. I know God got it the first time. But I have to be making sure that what I say, I actually believe. So I pray always, Lord, give my son favors with you and with people. Favors with you and with people. Straight from the Bible, by the way. Well, past week, we had something which we didn't expect. I knew about it a few weeks before, or maybe 10 days before, and I didn't want to say anything from the pulpit. So my son, about 14 months ago, changed from Murray Greeley as a critical care paramedic and went to Iowa Central Community College and became staff there to teach EMS. He is there in charge of that. What he did not know is that God had planned something which he had no clue about it. Isn't that wonderful? So, things are happening, even in Washington, D.C., which I never looked for anything. But things are happening sometimes, so making a very long story short, in the history of Iowa Central Community College, the first time since its inception, the first time, EMS was chosen to the governor and then to the federal government to start a program as the first in the nation. In order to that to happen and inaugurate and get all the documents signed, Peter had the opportunity to be there and meet the Secretary of Education, that's federal, the Secretary of Labor, that's federal, and then obviously the governor of the great state of Iowa. So, while I'm very proud of my son, because he had to do all the demonstrations, well, his wife, who's all working up there, she just decided to go on a conference. So, no, she did not know. So she went to a conference. I don't know what they do at college, but they go next week to another conference. Is that vacation or what is that? Paid, okay. So they obviously continues education. You know, it's very important. I'm telling you this to encourage you. Listen carefully to me. It does not matter what happens to your children when bad circumstances come into your life, because you made bad choices. And I mean, it does not matter when it comes to the future steps. You as parents, you need to take your children, teach them that the word of God is the most important thing. Teach them no matter what kind of job you get, Sunday is non-negotiable, period. And then you go to God and ask him to bless your children and put them into a world that is not your friend. It's a hostile world for Christianity where we're living in. And raise them up without any compromises that they can stand up and make a difference that even in Iowa can make national headline news. Peter told me that he found out from, was it maybe the promotional, marketing director, you know, they have marketing director in colleges, correct? They told him over 7.5 million people watch these things around the nation. That's a little college in Iowa. That little college can go a long way if God places his people into the right position at the right time. He can make doors opening which you and I cannot make happen. And I tell the parents always, they never believe me. I know. And you say, well, I do. No, you don't, because I know how you deal with the kids. You let the kids get away. You let the kids dictate what's going to happen on Sunday morning. You let the kids behave and say, what, Wednesday night we don't go to church. We don't go on Sunday morning to church because we have more important things to do. And then you come to me and say, I can't believe where my child ended up. And I tell you where it ends up. Not there where God wants them to be. This is the reason why you cannot allow compromises raising your children. Period. Well, Pastor, you know, this is not working in the world. My son came many times home and said, Dad, I don't know how that's going to go. I said, you let the Lord open the doors. Don't kick a door open. Let the Lord open the door. The Lord also can close doors. You know. And if you have your children today already grown up, well, he's grown up too, believe me. I fed him so well, he's a foot taller than me. That's a fact. You know, when you raise a child like this, you pray every day that God provides you enough money to get the food home. If you have 3 or 4, you know what I'm talking about, correct? I can tell you story after story, and you probably would listen to it and just think, oh, we're going to copy that. No, you can't copy that. I cannot tell you when he was younger how many jars of applesauce I carried home. I think my shoulder was out of whack for a season, just carry that stuff. He didn't eat a single meal without a huge amount. You remember that time? Applesauce. So if you want your kids to be tall and strong, applesauce is the answer. But make sure you have enough toilet paper too. All these things, it just costs you money. Okay? So I'm just telling you these things. It is a pleasure to get a privilege given by God, which are your children, to raise them and to raise them for Him. The church in America had missed that. And we're heading into big trouble. And it's my generation that primarily missed it. And it's sad. It's really sad. Where are these young men? Where are these young women who can be planted into an environment which we know is not biblically based? And they can make all the difference. They can. But you have to face reality. And you have to face that reality with courage. You have to know who you are. And more importantly, you have to know who your God is. Do you really believe that God can open doors for you? Do you really believe that God can do what you and I cannot do on our own? And even if you have wayward children when they're adults now, do you believe that your prayers can make a difference? Don't try to talk them into the way to think like you do. It's not working. Go to God, talk to Him. Ask the Lord to give them favors with Him and with people. And let's see what God is doing. And sometimes, maybe like Woodrow Wilson, you may have to borrow somebody's brain cells to make that happen. I don't know. But if we look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, let's go down to verse 3. I just picked a few. Verse 3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them. Listen carefully. Not your smartness, not your school, not your name, not your degrees. Integrity. Did you read that? The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous does what? Destroys them. If you don't understand the word integrity, and I get a little bit more careful these days after all these years being a pastor. I have heard it so often, it's almost sickening. Pastor, you're talking right over my head. I don't get it. And people come to me and say, I'm leaving the church. It's too complicated. I don't get it. Rather than taking the challenge and go, than walking away or making a disaster. If I would have kept a book with names and when they came to church and when they left and now how their life looks like, you would be stunned. Integrity is a pretty simple word. I've been in California when they had an earthquake, I think it was 89. Everything was shaking. As a matter of fact, I just walked in the house and all brrrr, everything shakes. So the first thing is you leave the house because you don't know if the integrity of the building has been compromised, correct? Well, the government, after the earthquake is over, they sent engineers everywhere to check bridges, high-rise buildings, in those days in San Francisco. Why? Maybe just small cracks will be the beginning of disasters. Integrity has been compromised. Let me say it this way. If you and I in our family let little cracks go in, you don't see it coming until it breaks. You don't see it. You all know when I had my foot broken, the doctor told me the surgeon, I said, well, hopefully this thing is over soon. She looked at me and she smiled. She said, you're going to see me for a long time. I'm thinking, oh, the heck with it, you know? I want to come every second week down to Ames for a checkup. Well, 2-3 visits later, she looks at me, she looks at the x-rays, and she looks at Sophie, which she was always with me, and she says, there's not even a hair crack in your bones. I release you, you don't need to come back. The surgeon knew if there is a hair crack left, She wants to check one more time for the integrity of the whole foot. They're checking it. What if God would put an X-ray on you and me about our spiritual compromises? How is our spiritual walk? Then hop into that X-ray machine, they get a good picture. Would there be some cracks in our integrity? We have to ask ourselves. And please don't misunderstand me. I don't want to hammer you home. I want you to be encouraged that if you do it right, you see the right results. You have to face reality. So the integrity, look at verse 6. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by what? By the lust. You're taken captive by your lust, and the lust can be a lot of things. You can lust for more money, you can lust for more prestige, you can lust for bigger houses, for cars. Anything can be lust. He said, it's gonna take you to places where you don't have free choices anymore. Something took you captive. You become a slave. Let me say it this way. If you have little cracks in your integrity and you make compromises in your life with the Lord, and especially in the days we're living in with the church, your small compromises will bring you to a way of living. How many of you know? It takes not long before we have a bad habit. And bad habits will get a hold of you. And you don't feel anymore the tugging of the Holy Spirit. You don't feel anymore that God is actually taking you to a place so you can see it, that you can face reality. No, we lie about it. Ask an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. I just drink every day. But I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I just shoot up the arms 3 times a day. That's not a druggie. That's just a bad habit. No. You have been taken captive. Some people have been taken captive the way they communicate. Every second word is a lie. It's not the truth. So it becomes a habit. You know what people sometimes tell me? You just have to take me the way I am. I go, no. If you lie to me and I find out, I let you know. That's important. Look at verse 10. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. You say, yeah, I shout when the wicked perish. No, no, let's go to the top first. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. How many of you would like to have things are going well for you? It's not just your life. It's the city you're living in can rejoice because you making a huge difference. When we Christians don't make a difference in a positive way, my friend, we just wait in our little home until the wicked get exposed and we shout for joy. What about if we make a positive impact? I don't shout for joy when the wicked gets exposed. I say, thank you, Lord, but I don't shout because I know that it affects everybody else when the wicked rule. Just as when you make a difference in a positive way, it can affect everybody else too. In verse 13, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. How many would have to say, we don't have to talk about that. We have talked last week about, you know, that little evil thing called tongue. How many would have to say, it would have been better many times I would have said nothing. Let me see your hands. We all do it. That's a big, big challenge. That's why the Bible constantly warns us. Look at verse 19 or 18. The wicked earns deceptive wages. I could make a sermon out of that. But let's summarize it. A wicked the wicked earns deceptive wages. That means you get paid and you don't do your job. That's what that means. But one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. See, I said at the beginning, you can pray that God gives you favors with people, and obviously with the Lord as well. But you cannot sow unrighteousness. You cannot sow things which rob your employer of what he hired you for, and you don't do your job. It will not go far. As a matter of fact, if that is you, let me give you good advice. No matter how much money you earn, somebody else will get it. There's never going to be enough. Do a good, honest day's work. Can you imagine if I would come Sunday morning and say, well, I had a very busy week. Let's just read a novel. Afterwards, we can discuss it. What would you say? Tell me honestly, what would you say to me? You were lazy. You did do nothing. We pay you. We come here to hear the word of God. And you tell us from a novel, a little story, and you think we're going to go home satisfied. We're not coming back. And you rightly could say that. We have to earn a righteous living. Look at verse 21. Be assured. This is God's word. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. Parents, if you live a righteous life, your offsprings will be blessed. Why? Your example makes a difference. If you're a cheat, a liar, compromise, church is not important, don't you ever expect that your children are going to do better. They do exactly what you showed them. Over 80% in America today call themselves semi-Christians. Okay, 76% to be exactly. But only 12% go to church. Does that tell you something? See, don't send your kids to summer camp, to a church for a program, and you go out to eat. You be involved. You participate. You learn and live it before them. In the military, it's a very simple saying. I don't care how many noodles you got on your batch. I had a few, believe me. If you are not going before the soldiers, they should not go, period. You're not a leader. A leader does what? He leads. Parents, you are leaders. You go first. And the children follow you. If you go to the market to make money on Sunday morning, what do you think your kids are going to do when they're grown up? Exactly the same thing. Then you say, I can't believe that my kids do that. Who taught them? We are teaching. Not good. If you want to have good results. Because the offspring of the righteous will be what? Delivered. I'm teaching you that because all week, it takes me 7 days to get this all absorbed. Before you get it. It's pre-chewed, believe me. What is deeply on my heart right now is what's coming. And I've said it many times. I want you to be in right standing with God because God will stand with you. Those who are pursuing right now all the worldly things, they're going to live the worldly things. I can't help you. I can't. It's God who delivers, not me. We have a maybe maximum 2 years. Maximum 2 years, you can put my words down. And you will understand these words very clearly. And when you come to me, I will say, I think you heard it. What did you do with it? It's serious stuff. It's not easy. The desire of the righteous in verse 22 ends only in what? In good. Look at verse 23. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. How many of you would like to have end up with good? And by the way, you say, well, that maybe not worked for me. Look at the second part. The expectation of the wicked is wrath. You can expect it. You say, well, but I'm going to pray myself out of it. I'm going to put food away for the next 6 years. I'm going to be in excellent shape. Listen, if your motives are not pure and you're not righteous, all these things mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. They're not going to work. Do you know why I know? This is God's word. And God's integrity is at stake. If this would not be true, God would be a liar. It's true. Look at verse 24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. You know, I always said, God's mathematical genius works differently than what you learned when you went to preschool, when you went to elementary school. God adds by subtractions. Never forget it. When you give, God adds. When you hoard, God takes. It's that simple. Principle works all over the place. Another withholds what he should give, and only what? Suffers what? That doesn't mean that they don't have, but it's never enough. It's never enough. Principles. Whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind, in verse 29. Whoever troubles his own household will inherit what? The wind. How many of you like to have a 100 miles an hour wind going through your property? And the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. Mm-hmm. You will be like a fish on a hook fighting that, but you will be a servant if you like it or not. I cannot tell you how often we get lately way too many emails on the church email address. People are now in places where they can't pay the rent and don't even have enough money to buy food. Right now. What should we do as a church? Just hand out freebies? Well, you're a church. Aren't you supposed to help? Well, we have a few questions. That's when everything stops. Communication stops right there. Where do you go to church? Because if they say, you know, somebody had the audacity to say, we go to Victory. Never seen him, never heard the name, never seen the face, nothing. We go to Victory. Really? Which Victory? Oh, in Jewel. What do you think I should say? You're a liar. No. The best is not to say anything. Because they don't want to listen. See, what they want is freebies. If you're healthy, you can work, go to work. The same Bible tells me, the one who does not work, do you believe that? See, there are principles. And I told My wife, many, many times I said, we haven't seen anything yet. This mailbox will be filled with requests. It's increasing daily. If you believe we are in good shape, you do not see reality. We are not in good shape. I'm talking about the economy. I'm talking about people in general. We are not. And the church will be the first one stormed down for giving everything out. That's why I titled that sermon, Facing Reality with what?
Courage.
With courage. We have to face reality. Don't put your head in the sand. It summarizes what most people don't want to do on a daily basis, but have to learn to do. And that is accepting the truth of a situation as it is. Accepting the truth of a situation as it is, without denial or wishful thinking. Wishful thinking will get you nowhere. Okay? James Baldwin once wrote, while not everything faced can be changed, nothing can change until it is faced. True bravery is not the absence of fear, but the choice to move forward anyway. You need to move forward. And that's a theme which we always need to remind ourselves. Don't look back. Only learn from the mistakes. Don't live there. You can't change the past. You can only change today, how you think, and then go the next step into the future. It will hold you, as Jesus' own words say, if you put your hand on the plow and you look back, you're not even fit for the kingdom. You're living somewhere else. Have you made mistakes? Let me see your hand. Or both hands. We made so many. We all make mistakes. We make incredible mistakes. And you have friends that will always remind you. No, they're not friends. Drop them. Just forget about them. You need yourselves to be surrounded with people who can help you, pull you out and point in the right direction. You don't need to get with people together. You can't move. You need to move. Look for people who have just announced more trust in God. And you say, I want the same thing, what they have. I spend a little bit more time with them. Negative people will put you right back into the mud hole. That's not where you want to live. We have to help one another. So the key concept, which just put a few little things out of 11. There are... I looked over this 11th chapter over and over and over. There are three primary concepts which are jumping out at you. Truth and honesty is one of them, we read. Because God detests dishonesty. It's in verse 1, false balance, correct? Particularly in business practices, you know? So obviously it's very difficult for a Christian to be a used car salesman. It's very difficult. You have to disclose that half the stuff doesn't run. Or like I read just the other day, BMW sells luxury cars, which I know, between $130,000 and $160,000 a piece. But what the dealers forgot to tell them is that they signed with the agreement that they can pipe advertising onto your screen before you can drive it. And it forces you to watch the advertising. So now these people who spend $150,000 for a BMW to want to turn the car on, they push the button, and there comes Coca-Cola. That was a big deal. And they are furious because for the next 30 seconds, you have to listen to Coca-Cola advertising. Doesn't matter if naked women running around, it comes on your big screen, then the car runs. And they want to sue, but they signed the contract. How many would like to say, that's a dishonest deal? You own the car, and they pipe the garbage right into your car. Well, it's just like when you sign maybe with a company, you want to have certain programs on TV. Have you ever recognized that? Advertising. If they would have told you that, you can only have that channel if you allow advertising. If you're on a computer, go somewhere and say, well, sorry, most of the stuff I want to go and read, I can't. First, remove your ad blocker. Pops up every time. Have you ever seen that? See, my wife is good. I said, I want to do nothing but the real thing. I'll block everything. She goes, brrrr. When I go, I want to quickly research. Please remove the ad blocker. So you exit out and go on with life, correct? See, these are the influences that makes us not honest, correct? Truth and honesty. By the way, truth is defined many different ways. You say, well, Jesus is the truth, he said so. But truth is also more when it comes to in our life, how we look at things. Truth is defined as a property. It's a property of assertions. And it's a property of assertion that always has to correspond with reality. And this is where we have problems. We don't want to face reality. Let me give you a reality. If you go to a bank and you want to get a $100,000 loan, the reality is they will hunt you down until they get the $100,000 back. That's reality. Correct? Did you know that? They would like to have it back. That's why they're in business. And obviously a little bit of interest with it too. You know, our idea is, well, I never really want to pay it back. I'm just going to roll it over. You know, the asset increase, I just roll it over. Get a new loan. We're using our house as an ATM machine, correct? And so when we're 70, we still have $100,000 on the house when you should have been done when you're 50. You know who operates like this? Our government. They just roll it over. Well, that system only works as long as people are willing to buy the federal bonds. When there are no buyers, we are bankrupt. And that day will come. History tells me that. It always happens. And it always happens when we're the least expected. Good luck on your pension fund then. It's not going to work. A second thing which you learn in Proverbs 11 is pride versus humility. Remember, the prideful doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to change, correct? But pride leads always to disgrace. Let me say it this way. Well, humility leads to wisdom. Pride to disgrace, humility leads to wisdom. A struggle with growing in wisdom. This is a tough saying, but I wrote it down anyway for me. A struggle with growing in wisdom may indicate an issue with pride. Not always, but may indicate. Because pride suggests a belief that I already know everything. Have you ever tried to help somebody? They come and they tell this story, and then you say, you know, we maybe want to look at it from another angle, and you may, oh, I already done that. They don't even listen, you cannot even finish your sentence. I normally walk away, nothing personal, just business, as they say. Because humility tells me that maybe my friend who talks to me has figured out that what you do does not work. And then maybe we should look at another option. But pride does not allow that to come across. And we cut him off. And up we go, and we haven't learned anything. Nothing. You meet them 6 months, they still have the same problem. You meet them 5 years, they still have the same problem. We need to learn to listen. Listen, there is nobody in the world who knows everything. We all learn. Pride versus humility is laid out. And the third one is where we're going to really zero in. Integrity versus duplicity. The Bible says integrity guides the upright, correct? While unfaithfulness and duplicity destroys. So obviously we have to figure out, what is integrity? How many of you have a good definition? Integrity. There's so many definitions. You can go on the internet and look it up, and you come up with all kinds of different things. Dr. Henry Cloud wrote a book, well, he wrote many books, but in 2009, he published a book, and that's where I actually got the title from. Integrity, the courage to meet the demands of reality, is the book title. Has a lot of good stuff. He's a Christian. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Talks about the boundaries we should set to ourselves and to children. And while it is important, if we ignore them, we pay the consequences. So it's a, you know, the courage to meet the demands of reality is actually a modern phrasing. But the biblical text would tell us that integrity is wholeness, truthfulness, and the courage to live honestly before God and people. And it does take courage to do so. I'm not saying perfection. Did you recognize that? Nobody's perfect. Just the honesty to live before God. In other words, you don't have two lives, a private and a public life. The Hebrew word there that's translated in the Bible, integrity, is tamim, which means just sound, complete, and whole. And there's a second word they also translate from the Hebrew integrity, is tomet, which is innocence and completeness. It pretty much has the same meaning. And this, the Hebrew looks at it this way, in that culture, that it's not just honesty, but morally pure, that integrates the word integrity. Honesty, you can be honest, you can speak the truth and be morally a moron. It's possible. You go before a judge, you raise your hand, you pledge that you speak the truth and only the truth, and in that matter that you've seen as a witness something, you speak the truth. Your integrity is not intact because last night you slept with another woman. That's not yours. You don't have any integrity. Could you imagine how that would stop everything in America if moral integrity is connected to honesty? And if you're not both, you cannot do anything in any leadership position. What would that do to America? Tell me. Or what would it do to the church? Is another question. We read in verse 3, the integrity of the upright guides them. So that means honesty and moral integrity needs to go together. Spiritual integrity requires to look at the reality, not wishful thinking, only to God's truth. This is reality. The very thing nobody wants to look into it. We have to admit faults, and you know what? God only shows it to us for one purpose, not to shame us. Only people do that. God doesn't shame anybody. He shows it to us so we can repent. He wants us to turn away from the sin. And that takes courage. But I love it, but I do. Yep. So one man who came once to church, he said, well, why is sex outside of marriage sin when it feels so good? I just quoted him. Well, obviously you're not in that church anymore, correct? Because I think you're a moral moron. You shouldn't call yourselves a Christian. Period. You have to have the courage to look straight into the truth of the Word of God. It's consistency in character. It's aligning our inner conviction with our actions. What we are convicted inside should come out, not the other way around. At its core, I believe, integrity represents moral soundness and biblical truth. We can't go wrong with this. Why? It's pretty simple. You are made in what? What? Really? You want to say that one more time? Shouldn't you act like him? Didn't he put the Holy Spirit into us? Don't we have a supernatural power to help us overcome what we know in flesh we can't overcome? See, we don't hear that anymore. But that's what it is. The Holy Spirit was not given to us so we can, you know, that's Indians dancing on the totem pole. Okay? That's not why he gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit so the characteristics of God's integrity is flowing through you and me. And we trust him. So when we were a chunky 6 months ago, and you got to know really the Lord and you really love him, today you're not a chunky anymore, correct? That's what Kirby meant with growing, not this way. You know, spiritually growing. And I tell you what, you got to water that plant every day. Every day. It's drying up just like this if you're not in it. And that's the big problem. So God's integrity is intact. But when we don't live accordingly, we shame God's integrity in light of the people in the world. But that's your God. That's how Christians look like. No. Pastor, you have no idea under how much pressure I am. Integrity is not changing its color because of our circumstances. Believe me, I went through fire many times. I know how it feels. And the fire never came from the world. Never. It always came from the church people. Every one of them. Biggest battle I ever fought in life was always church people. People who call themselves real Holy Spirit-filled people. And I got kind of nervous about hearing Holy Spirit-filled. Because I know what the Holy Spirit does. He's not the spirit of lies. He's the spirit of truth. Don't tell me you're filled with the Holy Spirit when you don't speak the truth. He speaks the truth, even if it's tough to swallow. I don't know what you're doing during the week. Sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, you have a camera in my house? I said, nope. I don't need to. I know the one who has. God knows everything what we do. So don't play the game. So I thought, okay, there are so many characters in the Bible which I can use as an example rather than just throwing it at you. So I was thinking first, Joseph would be a wonderful example, correct? Then I thought, well, Joseph is a great example. But he helped his brothers eventually forgave him. I need an example where it really got bad. And let's go to Daniel. It really got bad. Want to go with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 1? Nobody said yes. Are you following me? You want to go to Daniel with me? Let's read Daniel. I'm not going to read the entire book for you, but we read the first 6 verses. In the third year of King Reign, the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And listen to this. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Asphanas, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youth without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among those, or these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. The big question here is this. Why had God allowed such a thing to happen in the first place? Daniel said, the Lord gave the king of Judah into the hand of the most wicked pagan king at that time. It was God who gave Nebuchadnezzar the right and the power to go into God's house and rob the temple of God of the gold utensils built under the jurisdiction of the wisest man, Solomon. It was God. Why? Why did God do nothing to avoid such a disaster that came upon the nation of Israel? Isn't the nation of Israel God's people? Isn't that the nation to which Moses brought down from the mountain of God the law, how they should operate? Isn't that the nation that Moses led out of slavery from the land of Egypt? Isn't that the nation Joshua brought into the promised land to fulfill God's promises to Israel? Isn't that the nation where God raised up a young shepherd to become the king of Israel, known as King David, out of which lineage God promised will come the promised Messiah who will bless and lead the world into prosperity and a peaceful time? Isn't that the nation? God raised up that nation. They were privileged to be God's nation. How could Daniel and his friends believe that that God is real when they are now carried away by a pagan king, destroying everything and stealing everything from the temple? What do these young men think? Looking back as they are in the column marching towards Babylon, it was not on an airplane they went there. They walked through the desert for months to get there. Totally humiliated. Do you think it would shake you and me a little bit? Let me say it this way. The United States of America was raised up by God, by godly people, for a very specific purpose. I make you prosperous so you can use that prosperousness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And our forefathers did it. The last 100 years, we did nothing else but importing so-called democracy. What is that? I've been on the mission field. I know I talked with these people. I know what they get. They're all waiting for American money. I know. Then we go, we want to bring democracy. What are American people thinking? I don't know if you guys still in the school say the Pledge of Allegiance. How many go to public school? Okay. Do you still say the Pledge of Allegiance? Oh, good. What does it say? I pledge allegiance to what? And? And? Stop right there. To what? For which it stands. Correct? The Republic? It's a lie from every politician when they tell you we are a democracy. It's a republic. Have you voted to go to Vietnam to war? Have you voted if we go to Iraq to war? Have you voted that we go to Afghanistan to war? Have you voted that we go to Iran? See, in a democracy, the people rule. Open democracy. The people have to vote. So what we vote is representation. Okay. That's the difference between Athens and Rome. Our forefathers didn't want to go with Athens. Athens was a democracy, an open the city of Athens. They wanted to go with the Roman model. We have representation. I want you to do a little homework, correct? Integrity. This is where integrity comes in. Do a little research, not right now on your phone, but at home. Do a little research. Is there any republic that ever survived in the history of mankind? None. Neither will ours. Because after a while, all the representation becomes corrupt. They make the decisions. And now we are also, what happened? You give men power, power corrupts. That's the way it is. But we are so naive. We just take it. And then we look back when things happen, say, how does God allow this to happen? And now we hear all these prosperity preachers say, America will never go down. America is God's nation. God's nation is special. Listen, your special assignment God gave to America, we have squandered. Why did God allow it to happen? It's in the Bible. It's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22. If you go with me there, you can look at verses 3 to 9. Thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there with these words, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, who sits on the throne of what? Of David. You and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand the oppressor, him who has been robbed. And do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless, and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. For if you will indeed obey this throne of David, riding on chariots and horses, they and their servants and the people, but if you will not obey these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. This is the nation of Israel. For thus says the Lord concerning the house of the king of Judah, you are like Gilead to me, like the summit of Lebanon, yet surely I will make you a desert, an uninhabited city. I will prepare destroyers against you, each with his weapons, and they shall cut down your choicest cedar and cast them into the fire. And many nations will pass by this city, and every man will say to his neighbor, why has the Lord dealt thus with this great city? And they will answer, listen to this, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them. You want to get on the wrong side with God? Forsake the covenant. Forsake the church. Worship other gods and serve them. It's a guarantee. Judgment is coming. Judah did not listen, and the morally inevitable happened. The nation had compromised with immortality. They thought they live forever. They have compromised justice, idolatry. They became immoral. And so God said, that's it. That's God's integrity. When he says it, he does it. You can't buy God. You can't cheat on him. Many years after Judah was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel wrote his book. Many years after. They're already now in Babylon for many, many years. So in verse 2, Daniel remembered that God says, I will do it. He remembered, And he said, it was God. God. God is involved in human history. Never forget it. God is involved in human history, our history as well. Daniel is not content to inform us what happened, but more interested in why it happened. See, when you read the Bible, it's not what happened. The question is always, why did it happen the way it did happen? And it always is connected with God's absolute integrity. You can ignore God's word. You can ignore God's warnings. But don't question yourselves why. Just read it. It's there. Read it. John Lennox, in his book Against the Flow, which is dealing with the book of Daniel, he made a beautiful statement. He says, Judah had failed to grasp that God's loyalty to his own character and therefore to his own creatures has serious implications. Some of Judah's leaders had fallen into thinking that because the nation had been chosen to play a special role for God in history, it did not really matter how the leaders or the nation behaved. By the way, you can put in America in there. This was dangerously irresponsible and undermined the moral fiber of the people. See, wicked leaders undermines the moral fiber of the people they rule. Because it led to the rationalization of corrupt and immoral behavior that was incompatible with the law of God, albeit widely practiced in the surrounding nations. It doesn't matter what the world says. You still have to live according to God's covenant with you. Such behavior had the knock-on effect of making the nations claim to have a special role look absurd. In other words, your special role has been canceled. In our world today, inconsistent moral behavior on the part of those who claim to follow Christ devalues the Christian faith and causes people to mock it. Why does the world mock Christianity? Look at all the scandals we have everywhere. What the leaders of many of the people in Judah had failed to see was that God does not have any favorites whose sins he simply disregards. God is no respecter of persons, no matter from which nation or level of society they come. Think about that. God has plans. He had a plan for Israel. He still has a plan for Israel. He has a plan for the United States. He still has a plan. But what we have done will be corrected. And that's judgment. And the church is not prepared for it. Moaning and groaning. I don't know why God does what he does, but I know whatever he does is absolutely with purpose to move history forward. And those of you who just think, I keep on living the way I do and the rapture takes place. Listen, just forget that garbage. Listen to me. I'm not saying that the rapture will not take place. That's not an issue to discuss. That's a biblical issue. What I'm saying is having a lifestyle with the mentality that I'm going to get out with all the garbage I created is an unbiblical lifestyle and an unbiblical thinking. You live today honestly, with integrity today. If God takes you today out, praise God. You live tomorrow the same way, and if he leaves you here and we go together to the trouble, you live still with full integrity. It does not matter. Your character should not change because of circumstances. Well, I have a good today. What if it's happening not tomorrow? You're not changing. Don't change. Stay the course. Well, I don't like what's going on. I'm not going. Blah, blah, blah. I heard all these stories. Listen, I said at the beginning, I could write a book about what happens to people who put the back towards God and say, I'm out of here, I'm not going to this, I do my own thing. It's never ending up well, and the worst is yet to come. Hang in there. You maybe say, I didn't sign up for that. I wanted to hear a very good sermon. This is not a good sermon. This is an honest truth. I have a question for you. Knowing all this, do you believe that you have a future and a hope? Do you believe so? Daniel did believe that too. And he got it. He and his friends, they got it. Daniel outlived all of them. Being in tribune administration on top. He got favors from the Lord. He was faithful. Lion's den, well, so what? Lion's den I go. Lions have no power against God. Fire, so be it. God is with him in the fire. You say, well, that was then. God has never changed. God has never changed. He still does it. We have a future and a hope. And that should encourage us. If you walk a life full of integrity, my friend, I guarantee you, 100% truth, backed up by the word of God, you have a future and a hope. If you don't do it God's way, I guarantee you nothing. Whatever comes, comes. Which one would you like? Come on. Don't be so shy. You want judgment or you want the future and the hope? Really? You look like, I got clobbered. No, you didn't get clobbered. You got reality. This is reality. We're facing that. Don't ignore it. We're facing our own lives. We have to see reality. And then be courageous to look at the reality or make changes where changes are necessary. And put our own selfish desires away and pursue God and His will. You can't go wrong. I guarantee you. For us, the best is yet to come. For those who want to do it their own way, you gotta have to do it their own way. Our own way is never a good way. Never. God's way is the proper way. Listen to what Jesus said at the end of his sermon. He said, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Think about that. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. That's not literally, for those of you literalists. Because some of you, God would have nothing to count. Fear not. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Don't you even compare yourselves with an animal. You're special. And God wants his special people to believe a special God. That's him. And then live accordingly. We will learn from Proverbs. We have not even scratched the surface yet. I think we're going to be all year in there, looks like it. You say, Pastor, can you go to the next subject, please? We need to learn. We really do. And I tell you all this because I do care and love you. I don't want a single one to go the wrong path. Parents, you have a huge task. Grandparents, you have a huge task. Young adults, teenagers, you have a huge task ahead of you. Don't believe the lies of the world. Look at reality the way God describes it and live by it. It will make all the difference in your life. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Sometimes we look into your word and we see things we don't like. But we know they are real. They are written down for our encouragement, but also for our correction. And Lord, I just want to thank you for not holding anything back from us personally and as a family. May we go closer and closer to each other, encourage one another, and help one another to see what you want us to see, to walk through this world open eyes, not to be naive, not to embrace lies, but truth. And then heal us, Lord, with all the sickness and diseases, spiritually and physically and emotionally. Lord, that we can get a touch from you that makes us strong, courageous, so we can walk with full integrity to bring glory and honor to you. Wherever we go, wherever we work, whatever we say, whatever we do, Lord, may it always has you in the center of it. And bring glory and honor to you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people can say, Amen.